Edge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. Chris Graham talking UVA football on this Monday afternoon podcast. And just to give a sense of what else we've done today, if you've missed it or, you know, if you want to check in a little bit later, we also recorded a podcast just as I'm sitting here just a few minutes ago with Rod Mullins talking NASCAR, NHRA. So if you want to listen in on that, you can certainly go to that after this one. And you'll get to kind of the double dip of the day from us here at Augusta Free Press. But this one we're going to talk, as I mentioned, UVA football. Wrote a column earlier today on UVA football living up to expectations. At least that's the hope. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure you're a UVA football fan. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot leading into the preseason. The talk all spring, all summer, has been, will UVA be the Coastal Division favorite in the ACC for the first time ever? ACC kickoff, now it's formal, now it's official. UVA is the favorite in the Coastal. And so now, okay, training camp started on Friday. Now all the stuff about who's the favorite and all that stuff, that goes away. Now you got to make some sense of it all. And there's a new reality. So fourth-year coach Bronco Mendenhall and the group starting out practice Lambeth Field. It was interesting to see that they've done this. The last couple of years, at least, the team has had a practice at Lambeth Field. UVA alums will certainly remember Lambeth Field for lots of reasons. I had a couple of, in fact, my first year group at UVA, we lived in Dobie in the new dorms, which has been torn down. That's how old I am now. Our group broke up into two. A few of us went to an apartment on 15th Street, and the rest of us went into apartments in Lambeth on grounds. And I was part of the off-grounds group, and then a group, I think it was six or eight of them, went into Lambeth. I was jealous of them. Lambeth looked like the place to be. I couldn't make the decision quick enough, and there was a lot of intrigue back and forth. At first, that group wanted to live off grounds, and then I ended up off grounds. They ended up on grounds. Whatever the case, I spent a lot of time in Lambeth with those guys because 15th Street to Lambeth was about a 5-minute walk, maybe not even a 5-minute walk to go see the guys, and had a lot of good experiences there. And the field actually, too, so there were Lambeth apartments that were on grounds. As the crow flies and as the street goes, kind of across the street, a little. Extended across the street from U-Haul, and now closer, JPJ is actually closer to Lambeth than even U-Haul was. So not far from all that goings-on, if you want to say. And then the Lambeth Field itself, which used to be the home of UVA football. I mean, talking back into the 20s and 30s. But the colonnades are still there. There's the seating that I'm sure was filled back in the 1900s and 1910s and 20s and early 30s. Still there. You sometimes you'd go hang out there and sit and get some sun and in the fall and spring on a sunny day and study, read, take a book with you, whatever else, or frisbee. And it's where I first picked up a lacrosse stick. I never knew what to do with a lacrosse stick. I had most of my friends, the guys from Dobie, when we split up, they were from, except for one or two cases, they were either from Northern Virginia, D.C., Baltimore, or further north, and all sort of had lacrosse sticks in their hands, it seems, from the time they were little kids. I had never even heard of lacrosse until I went to UVA. So Lambeth Field's where I learned about lacrosse, and we played some touch football out there. Actually, we didn't play touch football. We played tackle football, which is not, you're not supposed to do that, but you did. We did. Go out and throw some baseballs and such. So I'm glad to see that it's gone from, you know, that use, which is, I mean, and I'm hopeful that there's still the recreational uses out there for the kids who are there now, but I'm glad to see that, you know, Bronco Mendenhall's kind of touched back to the past, the distant past for UVA football, and retouching that glory. And so, practice has started, and it's a good time to sort of re-examine everything we've been talking about this team. And so now we're going to go from the accolades to the work to be done. And the most significant thing that needs to be done is addressing, there are two real big needs. They're both on offense, and they're replacing production from guys who were very productive for UVA in the last few years. Jordan Ellis, we'll start with Ellis, the running back, tailback, because the wide receiver situation, Olamide Zaccheaus being gone, there are plenty of guys with lots of experience in the system that can help take up the slack for Lamedy Zaccheaus. Jordan Ellis, this is going to be a task here. Ellis had 86.7% of the carries by tailbacks in the UVA offense in 2018, 83% of the tailback carries in 2017. Now, in the UVA offense last year, he had 215 carries. Bryce Perkins officially had 212. Some of those were sacks, but most of those were runs, designed runs. But among tailbacks, Ellis had 86.7% of the carries by tailbacks last year, which means, you know, you got guys with reps in practice in the system, but not a lot of guys with game experience in the system. And so that's going to be a challenge. And Bronco Mendenhall talking about, in his mind, the top three guys. Wayne Taluapapa, 5'9", 210-pound sophomore. He was named the starter at tailback coming out of camp in the spring, in part because he did a great job in the spring. Also, in part, P.K. Kyer, who had been looked at perhaps as the favorite coming in, was down with some injury issues and didn't get – I'm not sure if he got any work in the spring. If not, if he got some, just some work, the 6-foot, 235-pound junior. And then Mike Collins, actually a freshman coming in, is being talked about by Broncos, a guy who might contribute right away. There's also some other guys who have experience in the system, Lamont. Atkins, a junior. Chris Sharp, a senior. Jamari Peacock, a junior. And Peacock, more of a fullback kind of running back. 5'11", 245. He's mainly had work as a blocking back in more short yardage situations, but you know, he's in the mix. And Seneca Millage, another freshman, coming in as well. So a lot of guys in the mix. Three guys maybe standing out. But Bronco says he'd prefer to have a set starter rather than going the committee approach, which makes sense. In Bronco's eye, it's sort of an old-school look. But in his eye, actually what he says is, and this is a quote, "I like the continuity and chemistry between a quarterback and a running back in the offensive line. I prefer that." You know, and when you think about that, you know, when you're shuttling guys in and out, you know, guys, of course, running backs have different styles. They have different preferences, different proclivities, abilities. You know, one guy might hit the hole on the left side faster, or might be able to run around in on the right side faster. And, you know, and there's also the part where you've got to, well, you got to, you know, get, you got responsibilities for blocking in certain packages in passing situations, the way UVA runs the offense. Also, you know, your ability to either take the ball on the belly, so to speak, on a read option from the quarterback, or be able to be a blocker, run around the end, and be a pitch option guy, and then your ability to get out in the open on passing situations. There's a lot being asked of running backs. It's not simply take a handoff and run. And so, you know, what Bronco's saying there is he would like, preferably, to have a guy who's your lead guy. That's why I'm Jordan Ellis, who was able to stay healthy the last 2 years, got so much of the work in the backfield for UVA. He was able to stay healthy and was very effective, very productive, and Bronco prefers to go with that lead back kind of situation. Some coaches don't mind shuttling guys in and out, but I totally understand. And actually, I would probably lean towards the Bronco approach myself if I were a head coach or a coordinator, because, again, for the same reasons, continuity and chemistry. But Bronco does say that doesn't mean that the other won't work. We'll just do whatever's best for the team. So it kind of comes down to a situation where you kind of read between the lines there. And what Bronco is saying is, you know, he might be kind of saying what the old axiom about quarterbacks. The axiom about quarterbacks is if you have two quarterbacks, you don't really have one. It might be the case that if you have two running backs or even three, you might not have one. He would prefer to have one of these guys win the job. And, you know, at UVA, earned, not given, it'll be a spirited battle. And I think it's the kind of thing that could go on for a while. If no one's emerged quite yet, it's the kind of thing that could go on for a while. So there are several guys competing who have experience, again, reps in practice, but we'll see how they work out. Now, with the receiver situation, it's a little different. I mentioned, you know, Lamedy Zaccheaus. I mean, we all know, and he's now undrafted free agent, trying to work his way, earn a spot on the Atlanta Falcons roster, and had a nice game in the preseason opener for the Falcons. Two catches, 31 yards in that game against the Denver Broncos. A pair of UVA quarterbacks throwing him the ball. Kurt Binkert, actually, I guess it was actually Kurt Binkert who was in the game with Zaccheaus at the time. Matt Schaub's also a backup in Atlanta. They both took all the snaps for Atlanta in that Hall of Fame game this past Thursday. But Zacchaeus, 93 catches last year for UVA, 1,058 yards, 9 touchdowns. He graduated from UVA with 250 career catches, all-time leading receiver at UVA, and you got to replace him now. So you're replacing a 1,000-yard rusher, a 1,000-yard receiver, and but you know, I talked with Bryce Perkins about this at the ACC kickoff a couple weeks ago, and he was confident in guys that are already in the system. You know, two guys in particular he talked about, Joe Reed and Tavarius Kelly, as being able to kind of fill into the role that Zacchaeus had, you know, sort of he's a guy who can stretch the field, but also, you know, make the catch on third down and move the chains. Joe Reed and Tavarius Kelly, both speed burners like Zacchaeus. Reed last year, 25 catches, 465 yards, 7 touchdowns. Kelly, just 10 catches, 121 yards, 1 touchdown. But Kelly really contributing as a true freshman. Got a lot of playing time, a lot of significant playing time. Both those guys also, their speed is indicated in the fact that Reed is your kickoff returner and Tavarius Kelly is your punt returner. They're both great guys in open field. If you can get the ball in their hands, basically, they're a weapon. They're also weapons, just like Zacchaeus was last year in that Reed option game. You know, there were some really the kind of plays that defensive coordinators on opposing teams hate to see. When you see Bryce Perkins putting the ball in the belly of a running back with speed, then, faking that handoff, and himself then running down the line. And actually, you know, there were some sets where you would have Zacchaeus as the pitch option behind Perkins. And so now all of a sudden, you're on the edge. You're either an outside linebacker or defensive back, preferably if you're UVA, defensive back. You've got to choose. Am I taking Perkins or am I taking speed guy? And so UVA, very creative in getting those kind of situations set up. Well, either of those guys would be scary to have to think about if you're a defensive back, a safety out there on the edge, having to choose between Bryce Perkins, Joe Reed, Tavarius Kelly on a pitch. And so the value is there. Either of those guys or both those guys kind of in tandem step up. Now, Hossein Dubois comes back, 52 catches. He's the leading returning receiver, 52 catches, 578 yards, 5 touchdowns last year. And Dubois is a size guy. He's 6'3", 215, and a guy that presents a big target and big, strong receiver type. And I look actually for him to sort of be, to me, to be the Zacchaeus of this team. It'll be a little different because Zacchaeus can stretch the field more than Dubois can, but Dubois is a possession guy, is a guy that can move the chains for you. I really see him really stepping up at 52 number. I mean, I don't know if he'll have 93 catches if he stays healthy, but it wouldn't surprise me to see him with 70, 75 catches this year and some really important catches, the move the chains type catches. And I really see Dubois kind of being that guy this year. Terrell Janna, also a guy with experience in the offense, 11 catches, 151 yards, and 1 touchdown last year. There's depth in the form. Now, there's a number of receivers on the roster, but a couple of the guys I'll mention, a pair of grad transfers, Wayne Chapman from Arizona State and Dijon Brissett from Richmond. Brissett, to me, is the more intriguing of those two, but he is coming off an injury. He got a medical redshirt year. He was a senior last year in Richmond, played 3 games, went down with an injury. Concerns that maybe he's recovering a little more slowly than had been expected. You look at his numbers, though, and if he can get back and get healthy, he led Richmond with 63 catches back in 2017. He's a guy that presents a big target, over 6 feet tall. Chapman is one that is a wild card. He's a grad transfer. He actually was Bryce Perkins' roommate at Arizona State. They were both in the same recruiting class at Arizona State. Feels like 100 years ago, I'm sure, for both those guys. And Chapman, he only played in 13 games at Arizona State. Only had 3 catches. But you look at his vitals, he's a guy that can stretch the field. He's a guy that's got a little size with him as well. And he's got some, what would you say, he's got rapport. He's got some synchronicity with our good friend Bryce Perkins at quarterback. And so those two guys know each other. They've worked out together a lot. They have some great rapport. And we'll see how he maybe, if Chapman can work his way into that mix too. But there's a lot of talent there. That's why, you're having to replace your all-time leading receiver. and Alameda Zacchaeus. But I don't think there's any room for concern with the wideout core. And in fact, I mean, when you think about this now, Bryce Perkins, last year was his first year as a starting quarterback at the Division I level. Of course, coming in brand new to the system. He didn't have a year of tutelage, you know, like Brennan Armstrong, for example, officially redshirted last year. He played in a couple games and was getting – he was a backup every week, just didn't have to get into more than those first couple of games. Not first couple, but a couple. I think he had, had to lead a drive in the Georgia Tech game when Perkins got hurt briefly. But UVA then able to use that new redshirt rule and redshirt him. But Perkins didn't have that luxury. He didn't have a whole year to learn the offense, study the playbook, you know, get reps and everything else. He had to come in and play last year straight up because he was the most talented guy and there was nobody in terms of an incumbent to compete with. And he still put up those eye-popping numbers. 2,600 yards, 25 touchdowns, 64.5% completion percentage. And now, for defensive coordinator, and he rushed for 900 yards, too. Don't forget that part. Now for defensive coordinators on the other side of the ball, you've got to consider that he's got a whole year in the offense. He's got those relationships, the practice time, the reps with his returning receivers. He's had a whole spring and summer, in addition to all last fall and winter, with these guys, with this system, with this program. So, this is why I voted Bryce Perkins my preseason ACC Player of the Year. I think he's going to really be lights out. Stay healthy. And that passing game is going to be fun. And actually, having Perkins back there too, I didn't write this in the column I wrote today, but having Perkins and what he can do with his legs. You know, and I asked him about this at the ACC kickoff. You know, you hear a lot about dual-threat quarterbacks, and they're usually 5'10", 190-pound guys. He's 6'3", about 235, 240. He's a big man, big, fast man. And he can drop back. He had the best numbers. I tweeted this at Tiki Barber. Tiki Barber, I love Tiki's radio show. He's on CBS Radio. Last week, though, he had an ACC football writer on. They were talking about, it seemed like they were talking about how great Miami was for some reason in that for a lengthy 15-minute segment or so. And Tiki mentioned in passing, I've got Bryce Perkins at my alma mater. I just worry about Bryce's ability to be a drop-back passer. Bryce was the best drop. He had 280 drop-back pass attempts last year. He led the ACC in passer efficiency, completion percentage on those passes. So, and that included Trevor Lawrence. I think our boy's okay. I think Bryce can do the job as a dropback quarterback. Yeah, he can also run. But at 6'3", 235, he's got the numbers that NFL teams like, and I think this year he'll really show it as he gets more familiar, more comfortable with his surroundings in Charlottesville. But he certainly will make. Well, I guess the point I was getting ready to make there, then I started talking about Tiki, was for whoever the running back is, the number one tailback that Bronco and staff decide upon, he'll make their job a little easier too because, Perkins takes so much attention off of linebackers especially in terms of with his ball handling skills and him being a threat himself. It does kind of create some opportunities for running backs that might not be there in a more conventional type pro style type attack. So whoever wins that battle, I'm confident will do well because again they have Perkins kind of as a support system as far as that goes. So we'll have more coverage of UVA training camp. I mean, what's today? Today I think is August 5th. Sometimes I forget what day it is, literally, and that's a good thing. But, first game is 26 days away. So we are 3 weeks plus out from our first game week. But, it's going to be rapidly approaching. It'll be here before you know it. Scott German and I will be making that road trip. Jerry Ratcliffe, and I'm sure Scott Ratcliffe also for the JerryRatcliffe.com, our sister site, will be making that road trip. But we're heading up to Pittsburgh. For that August 31st game. And so, of course, we'll have a lot of pregame coverage there. We'll be there from the stadium. My first road trip to Pittsburgh for an ACC game. And UVA playing the defending Coastal champions in a big game for both schools. It'll really set the tone for that ACC season for the preseason favorite this year and last year's defending champion. So looking forward to that matchup and the whole ACC season. Catch my breath here now. So we'll join you again tomorrow. We'll talk some more sports here on Street Knowledge. For now, signing off, Chris Graham. Wahoo, wah.